Welcome to the podcast for Sound the Trumpet, How to Blow Your Own Horn, written by Jonathan Harnum and read by me, John Harnum. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about this book and my other books at allabouttrumpet.com. There you'll also find free video lessons, a whole bunch of free PDFs with scales and lesson plans and lesson tracking and all kinds of other stuff. There are also some free MP3s related to this book. And there's also a store for many things trumpet related, including more method books, recordings, all kinds of gear for playing. So go have a visit. There's lots of free stuff there. And if you're asked for a password, password from one of my other books, the password is Lewis, as in Lewis Armstrong. We'll see you online. This podcast covers Chapter 1, War and Worship, A Brief Trumpet History. History doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. Mark Twain. This chapter covers origins of the trumpet, oldest known trumpet, uses of the trumpet, trumpets today and trumpets tomorrow. Some terms to know is crook, a length of tubing used to change the key of a brass instrument. Harmonic series, it's a series of notes which a valveless trumpet can play. There's a large distance between pitches low in the range and a small distance between pitches high in the range. A natural trumpet is a valveless, keyless trumpet. A keyed trumpet is a trumpet with 1 to 12 keys, similar to a saxophone. A trumpet for worship or war. In the mid-1300s, in Kraków, Poland, a young man climbs a high church tower, its stone steps cold from the chill morning. He clutches a trumpet to his chest to keep it warm. It's early, but he is awake and excited. This morning, he'll play the hymn to the Virgin from the top of a high church tower. It is the only song he knows well. He's been practicing it for months. Just over the hills to the east, the Mongol horde rides towards Kraków, thirsty for pillage and plunder. The trumpeter climbs the stairs, oblivious, whistling the tune he's about to play. He climbs to the top of the tower, steps to a tiny stone balcony, turns to the east, waits a few moments, then lifts his horns to his lips when the sun flares at the horizon. The hymn to the Virgin springs forth, loud and powerful. The song is to be played 4 times, once to each of the 4 directions. He finishes the 4th repetition and is pleased with himself for not making any mistakes. He turns to go back down the dark stairwell. A large dust cloud on the eastern horizon catches his eye. He turns eastward and shades his eyes as he peers into the bright sunrise. Are those riders, and so many? For a second, he can't believe what he is seeing. He's heard talk of some trouble southeast of his village, a long way off. Could these be the same raiders? Here and so soon? On their strange mounts? He stands frozen, his horn dangles limply from his hand. He gives a quick shake of his head in disbelief, looks one more time at the cloud of dust on horizon, and lifts his horn to his lips again. He hasn't yet learned the songs for alarm, fire, or attack. The hymn to the Virgin is the only arrow in his musical quiver. He points the bell of his horn towards the center of Kraków and blasts as loud as he can. The 5th time he plays the song, it's faster, even louder, and with more urgency. It wasn't until the 7th or 8th repetition that people in the city suspect something is awry. On the 14th repetition, the call is abruptly cut short mid-song. Back at the tower, the young man's lips had begun to get sore after the 7th repetition, and now, after 13 repetitions, his lips feel like ground mutton, pink, soft, and painful. But 13 is an unlucky number, he may have thought. Maybe one last repetition before I head for cover. He lifts the horn and blows one last time. Below him on the ground, a small man on a large horse fits an arrow to his bow, draws back the feathers to his ear, and lets the arrow fly. The warning trumpet blast cuts off abruptly, and the young man falls into the dark stairwell. But the archer was too late. The brave trumpeter's call had saved many lives and most of the city. Today, in honor of that trumpet player's sacrifice, the same hymn to the Virgin is sounded from the same church tower and is stopped mid-song, just where it stopped that day over 700 years ago. Just the facts. The trumpet player of Kraków embodied two of the oldest uses for trumpet, war and worship. Because of their loud volume and the ability to carry messages over long distances, trumpets have been associated with war as far back as we can remember, and for perhaps the same reasons, trumpets also have been used in worship. Ancient trumpets are simple elongated tubes of bone, wood, or metal, and often with a flared bell at the end. The didgeridoo, an ancient Australian trumpet still in use today, often has no bell. For more on didgeridoos, you'll have to wait for How Do You Do Didgeridoo on page 249. Some trumpets, like the Alphorn and Cornettos, have gentle curves to them. To the right is a picture of John Kenny playing the Carnyx, an ancient Celtic trumpet made of bronze with a 5-octave range. That's a lot. It has a boar's head at the top and was used from around 200 BCE. It could be heard when the Romans invaded the British Isles, and the Carnyx has been depicted in art as far away as India. This is a really cool instrument. It's too bad you can't see the picture. If you would like to see a picture and hear John Kenny play it, you can go to carnyx.musicscotland.com/carnyx/carnyx.htm. Carnyx is spelled C-A-R-N-Y-X. Just run a search for that and you should be able to find it. It's a cool instrument. In Tibet, a type of trumpet used for worship is the dung, or dung, a trumpet almost 15 feet long. It's used in ceremonies, and its sound is meant to scare off evil spirits. And I don't know about you, but a 15-foot dung would probably scare me. In ancient Olympic games, there was a trumpet competition, as well as the athletic competitions, and it's likely the competitors played naked, just like the athletes did. In Rome, Tibet, and Israel, the trumpet was considered so sacred that only priests were allowed to play or even touch them. The oldest trumpet we know of that is still in existence was played in 1353 BCE. That's 3,300 years ago. It was found in King Tut's tomb. It's 120 centimeters long, about 2 feet, and is a conical tube which flares to a 26 centimeter diameter bell, about 10 inches. If you want to hear how this thing sounds, go to the sound files for this book at allabouttrumpet.com. So as you can see, trumpets didn't always, well, you can't see it because you don't have the pictures, but all of these trumpets are simple tubes. So trumpets didn't always have valves. For thousands of years, they were simple straight tubes with a bell at the end. The tube could be made from wood, metal, cane, anything tubular. Radical and gnarly tubes were discovered later in Hawaii, maybe Southern California. Cornettos are trumpets made of wood, and they have a little similarity with the modern cornet, as the name suggests. The serpent, in the following example, is the bass, not the fish, but the lowest voice. That's a spelling joke. Ha ha. It's a bass instrument in the cornetto family. It was invented in 1590 by Frenchman Edme Guillaume, and the serpent is one of the oldest instruments still in use today. So you can't see the pictures, but there's a picture of David Staff from the Guildhall School of Music playing a cornetto, and Doug Yeo, the symphony trombonist, with his serpent. You can hear him play at his website, yeodoug.com, and just run a search and you'll find that. That's Yeo, Y-E-O, Doug. So it wasn't until the 1300s that someone thought to bend the straight trumpet into loops. The result was a trumpet about twice as long as the modern one we have today, and we called it a natural trumpet. They're easier to hold than the long, cumbersome straight trumpets, which they quickly replaced. Natural trumpets are similar to the modern bugle, in that they're just a simple length of tubing wrapped around itself a few times with a mouthpiece at one end and a bell at the other. Around the middle of the 1700s, holes were added at critical points in the tubing, and these holes allowed the trumpeter to tune out-of-tune notes. And there's a picture of two natural trumpets. There's a part of the natural trumpet called a knop, which is kind of this bulbous thing. It was a connector to join the bell to the tubing. There's also often wound against a wooden block, wound with heavy woolen twine to keep it from falling apart. Trumpets without valves of some kind are limited to notes in the harmonic series, also known as the overtone series. The harmonic series is a naturally occurring phenomenon. It's the same ratios of the harmonic series can be seen in the petals of a flower, a nautilus shell, a model's face, and other beautiful things in the physical world. The harmonic series itself is a fairly complex idea. Really, all you need to know about the harmonic series for our purpose is that between the low notes, there are large gaps in pitch. For instance, the first two notes of the harmonic series are an octave, eight diatonic notes. They're an octave apart. And as you go higher in the harmonic series, the pitches become closer and closer together. You can see this in the musical notation of the harmonic series to the right, which you can't see. Just run a quick search online, you'll find the harmonic series. It's a pretty common thing. But you'll be able to see the gaps between the lower notes. So a natural trumpet can't play the notes between the gaps because it's a natural trumpet. There's no valves to change the length of the horn. So with a natural trumpet, you're stuck with playing only the notes of the harmonic series. Another thing, natural trumpets and keyed trumpets are limited to one tonal center or one key signature because they're a fixed length. Okay, you can't change the length of it, so it's going to stay in the same key. The length and the diameter of the tubing determines the pitch. So the only way to shorten or lengthen your instrument was to insert a longer or a shorter piece of tubing, a crook, to get a different starting note or tonal center. So keyed trumpets solve this problem a little bit, this problem of not being able to get the notes in between the notes of the harmonic series. And keyed trumpets first appeared in the late 1700s, though their creation is somehow credited to Anton Weidinger, I think that's how you say his name, of Vienna in 1801. Keyed trumpets had anywhere from 4 to 6 keys, much like saxophone keys, though smaller. And these keys allowed the instrument to play other notes in the harmonic series. Later, around 1810, the keyed bugle came into use, and it could have as many as 12 keys. There's a picture in the book of the 1845 Graves keyed bugle. It was restored by Rob Stewart, and you can see more of his work at vintagecornets.com. So the valve changed all of that. This is also invented in the early 1800s, and it was a revolution in trumpet design. It was a system that improved upon the crook idea without really doing away with the crooks. All the crooks were on the horn already, and the valve simply redirected the air to the crook of the right length. So take a look at your horn or the diagram in the book, and if you trace the direction of the airflow with your finger, you can do this for several valve combinations. So for the open combination with no valves down, the air goes directly through the valves and out the bell. If you press down the second valve, the middle one, the air takes a detour through that shortest slide on the trumpet, the second valve slide, and then it goes out the bell. So you've increased the length by just a tiny bit, that shortest slide. So you can continue doing this with the first valve. It's going to go a little longer with 1 and 2, longer still. All three of them is the longest possible, right? So it's an ingenious thing. So if you can get a good tone on your horn, go ahead and experiment with your valves to find out the relationship between the valve and the sound. For more information about getting a good tone, you're going to go to What the Buzz is About on page 38. It's coming up pretty soon. So the cool thing is that when you push this valve down, you have a trumpet in a different key. So there are 7 different combinations, valve combinations. So basically you have 7 different trumpets in one. It's brilliant. So that basic trumpet design hasn't changed really much at all since 1815. But there have been improvements not only in quality but in production too, of course. There are many, many more trumpets in the world now than there were in 1815. And despite what's said by a few people who live with beginners, that's a great and beautiful thing. And innovations continue. Dave Monette, a trumpet player in Portland, Oregon, has made the most significant contribution, in my humble opinion, to modern trumpet design. His horns range from tried and true to revolutionary and are capturing the eyes and ears of trumpet players, musicians, and music lovers the world over. A lot of great players play his horn. Wynton Marsalis, Terrence Blanchard, Charlie Schluter, formerly of the Boston Symphony, Adam Rapa. There's just a whole slew of trumpet players that play, and they're really excellent trumpets. I play on one myself, so I'm a little biased. But you can see great pics and videos of players and learn more about the trumpets at monette.net. So that's monette.net. And it should be noted that his horns have some controversy associated with them. Some players really do not like the sound. In fact, some conductors will refuse to let them on the stage. So they're a darker sound, which is the sound that I tend to prefer. I don't play classical, and I don't play lead that much, so I really like the tone. And there's a little controversy over them, and they're fairly expensive, but I think they're gorgeous. One of the things that he has invented is called the flumpet, And he did this with Art Farmer, the flugelhorn jazz master. And it's a cross between a trumpet and a flugelhorn. And it's got a really, really cool sound. So if you get a chance, you should check those out. So innovations and expectations. It's human nature to tinker and to invent and to mess around with things. This leads to different musical styles, different art, different technology, and of course different instruments, in this case trumpets. So Bobby Shue, a player and teacher of just phenomenal talent, played with Buddy Rich among many, many other people. He sometimes uses an instrument called the shoehorn, also made by Dave Monette. It's a trumpet with two bells, and a fourth valve changes which bell the sound comes out from. So with a mute in one bell, you can do like duets with yourself. And if you run a search on YouTube or look at the videos at allabouttrumpet.com, you'll find clips to that shoehorn. It's a pretty cool instrument. Don Ellis, another trumpet player active in the 60s and 70s, used a quarter tone trumpet for a while. The smallest interval between notes in Western music is called a half step. And you can get half steps on your trumpet. Well, Ellis's trumpet used intervals of a quarter step. So half, again, as small as a half step. And the sound's strange and even a little unsettling or weird. It's really cool, though. And even 30 years later, the sound of this is just out there. It's pretty cool. You can find recordings of him, too. So, you know, innovations and improvements, we can expect more. Who knows what they'll be? You know, maybe you'll be the new inventor of a horn that will be wildly popular. You know, if you're interested in making instruments, there's a few books you can explore. One is by Bart Hopkin. It's called Musical Instrument Design, Practical Information for Instrument Making. Another one is Making Simple Musical Instruments, also by the same guy. There's a bunch of others out there. You can do gourd instruments. There's a book called Making Gourd Musical Instruments by Ginger Summit. Another one called Making Musical Instruments by Hand by Jay Havokhurst. And there's been some videos out lately of trumpets made out of crazy stuff like carrots and squashes and cucumbers and stuff. So check it out. It's pretty cool. And you don't have to be a whiz inventor to do this, you know, if you or have a metal shop. You know, you can take a piece of old garden hose. If you chop it off about 3 feet, stick a mouthpiece in one end and buzz, you'll get a trumpet. You can cut the hose shorter to get a better sound. You know, twirl it around your head as you play. You can stick a funnel in it for a bell. If you live near the ocean, you can use bull kelp, which works pretty well. So just, you know, have fun, mess around with stuff. So that's chapter one. Up next is a chapter on listening. And as I mentioned earlier, this chapter is going to be pretty short on the podcast. I might actually combine two chapters because most of the chapter is about is just a vast list of recordings for you to check out. So that is available as a free PDF from allabouttrumpet.com. And all of the links in there, all of the titles in there are links. So you can go listen to examples or buy the examples. And if you do buy them, that would be awesome because that's one of the things that helps support this podcast and support further writings and support all of the stuff that I've given away. So go check those out. If you haven't checked those out before, you want to beef up your music library, that's a great place. So that's chapter one. Up next is chapter two and probably chapter three as well. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or on my blog. And again, you can reach those at allabouttrumpet.com. Have fun. Good luck with your practice.